Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
John McClain joins us, as he does each and every Tuesday and Friday here on the show. John, how are you?
I'm great. And I've, with my wife being such a diehard Caps fan, she told me she bet he would leave because obviously he wanted to sign an extension after last season and they wouldn't do it. He had the best record in the NHL during his time with them, and he had the best record in the league the last previous two seasons. And I didn't think it was fair. You know, he signs a contract. Did he go straight from the Preds to the Caps?
Yes.
So that contract that he signed in 2014 gives him, you know, two extra years if he wins a cup with a $300,000 raise. Well, what might have been fair in 2014 is not fair in 2018. And they said he negotiated. He wanted a five-year deal, and he wanted to be paid with commiserate with the top guys, which is around $5 million, and they said no. So they've lost him. They're going to lose Bryce Harper to free agency with the Nationals. So, you know, this, I think he's the third cup-winning coach to leave. Scotty Bowman retired, but I just think I can't imagine that they couldn't pay Trotz what he wanted. It just makes no sense after waiting that long to win a cup. Now people definitely hardly have time to celebrate. And, of course, the Islanders are the only team with an opening. I'm guessing he'd be great on TV if they wanted to use him for a year.
You brought up Bryce Harper. Have you heard the conspiracy theory with Bryce Harper around Major League Baseball right now?
No, I have not. What is it?
He shaved his beard, and so everyone expects him now to sign with the New York Yankees because he's a clean-shaven baseball player.
Because of that policy, yeah, yep. Like he couldn't shave right before he reported the spring training. Yeah.
Yankees are pretty
so funny.
Loaded now. I'm hoping that they don't go after one of these big free agents after this.
You don't want Bryce
have
Harper?
To shoehorn him in somewhere.
Oh, my gosh.
Yankees got so much young talent right now. It is amazing the rebuilding job they've done. Paul, who gets credit for that? Here it's the general manager, Jeff Luhnow, but who is responsible for the great one, the philosophy of not unloading all those young guys like they used to.
Yeah, it's Brian Cashman.
Is it Cashman?
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
And he was strapped. I mean, he strapped himself, but he was doing what ownership wanted with those long-term contracts, and then they kind of had to wait out the end of the Jeter era and guys like Teixeira, you know, who weren't the same guys at the end that they were at the beginning. So they finally got to a spot where they traded some assets and got young in a hurry, and this is the best young group of players they've had in a long time.
The Yankees, Red Sox, and Astros, those three. Now, the Red Sox have more veterans, but watching the Yankees and Astros with all their young players and all the talent they have in the minors is going to be so much fun over the next few years.
John McClain is with us. He's covered the NFL for the Houston Chronicle since 1977. Excellent at what he does, and he can talk all things NFL with you. 615-737-1045. He's been on the air here in Nashville for over 20 years. John, we reset you from time to time because so many people move here per day that they may be new to 104.5 The Zone. So,
well, I'm
welcome.
Glad you do it. Thank you very much. It's been since 1997.
Yeah.
When, actually, my first job up there, I can't even remember who was it, hired me to be on to make appearances on Titans radio pregame while I was traveling around the NFL. And then I did an interview with George Plaster at training camp that year, and I told a bunch of stories about Bud Adams. And it's not the kind of shows your flagship station would want told about your new owner. And so when they asked me, I said, well, yeah, I'd like to be on. I said, I'm not good. I'm smart enough to know on what you can say and what you can't. I'm not, you know, Bud. I tell those Bud stories down here, and I certainly wouldn't be telling them on the flagship. So that's where I actually started. And then George hired me, and the rest was history. And it's you know, my home away from home. One of the reasons I like coming up there is I met so many cool people. And now that Mike Vrabel's there, I haven't been over to the facility in a long time, probably since Fisher left. But now that Mike's there, I may have to stop by when I come up in the summer.
Yeah, you won't believe what you see in there in terms of what's been redone, and even some Oilers history on the wall at parts in there.
John, the Titans tonight on Facebook Watch, which is the same platform that Brady had his docuseries, the Titans are debuting a weekly series on Facebook Watch tonight called Igniting the Fire, where they are going behind the scenes throughout this offseason to introduce fans to the new coaches and players on the roster. And this is their version of Hard Knocks. I mean, that's what it looks like to me when I watch the preview. And I wonder how many other teams are trying to do this exact thing.
Well, I tweeted that they were doing that because I try to retweet everything I see on the Titans, Colts, and Jaguars. Because it's the AFC South, and I know fans here are interested in a lot of things that go on with those teams. And then I know there are a lot of fans like me want to know more about the Titans than any of the other teams. And I would think, because teams have their own websites, and because they have so many fans that follow those websites, that they would want more things like that. So I think you'll see more and more teams, if not eventually all teams, doing that. You know, it's a fine line. When the Texans created their website, I went to the Bob McNair, the owner, and I said, there's a couple of teams that are breaking stories on their website, which is not fair to those of us who cover the team every day. And I talked to him. I said, you guys have this many followers, viewers, Chronicle has 4 million. And so we never had an issue with that. And teams, of course, are going to get more access than we do because, you know, they work for the team. But I, as a fan, I'm interested in every piece of information I can get, whether it's 104.5 The Zone, PaulKaharsky.com, Titans website with Jim Wyatt, or the Tennessean. You know, it's really, if you're a fan, you know, it used to be multiple newspapers. Now it's multiple platforms that we have. And if it's a great time to be a fan of a team because you have access to so much information, including information behind the scenes. One of the reasons I've watched every episode of Hard Knocks is because it takes me places I can't be. Well, now with programs like that, if you're going to show fans behind the scenes, then, Hard Knocks might lose a little of its pizzazz because it's not the only one going behind the scenes.
Well,
by the way, I want to tell you guys something we got going on. The Robert Brazil, who I believe will be the last Oiler in the Hall of Fame, we're roasting him on my radio station here Monday night at the Improv. We do those every year for charity. And what's cool about this one is we have all the Oilers in the Hall of Fame together for the first time under the same roof. The only one that couldn't be here is Mike Munchak. He's got a charity golf tournament in Scranton, PA. He sent a video, and we're going to have a helmet that we had Mike sign and send. We're going to have all those Oiler Hall of Famers. We got Earl Campbell, Kenny Houston, Elvin Bethea, Bruce Matthews, Warren Moon, Curly Culp, Robert Brazil. So we're doing for charity a great event, and I'll be writing about it. I wish Titans fans who don't know the history of the organization or want to know more could be there and be part of this to see the greatest players from Houston Oilers history.
Well, when you write about that, we will certainly be retweeting it, and hopefully the station there will podcast it as well.
Thank you.
John, Sportsline.com has some odds released on where Dez Bryant's going to play next year. And the two favorites right now, according to Sportsline.com, the Tennessee Titans and the Houston Texans. What do you think about that?
Well, as I've been telling people since he got cut, and I see all these odds from these companies saying that the Texans are one of the leading contenders, he will not be coming to the Texans. Adrian Peterson will not be coming to the Texans. He lives here and tells any media person that asks how much he wants to play for the Texans, but I know he won't be coming here.
And Paul,
I don't think he's coming. He's not coming here either. I mean, I think people, there's a long shot if somebody gets hurt or stuff, but I think a lot of people are looking at the Titans. 2 years ago, added Andre Johnson late. Last year, added Eric Decker late. Easy conclusion to draw. But all of the people that are fueling this are fueling it off of those odds. And I know mainstream media is a dirty word, but nobody that's connected to the team, no reporter that's got any connection to the team is saying this.
615-737-1045, our number. Let's start with Bert up on line one. Hey, Bert.
Hello, John. Hello, Bert. How you doing today?
I couldn't be better.
That's a good response. Anyway, I had a question about Walter Payton, a.k.a. Sweetness. And every time that I saw him, now I'm a big Green Bay Packers fan, so I would dread watching Walter play against my team. But anyway, when you saw him running the ball, he would just punish defenders at the point of contact. How did he get that nickname when he was such a physical player?
He got that nickname Sweetness because it didn't have anything to do with physicality. It's because of the way he ran. I've always thought, like, Jim Brown is the greatest football player I've ever seen. And so, therefore, he would be the greatest runner. I thought Walter Payton was the best all-around running back because he was a great receiver. He was a tenacious, tremendous blocker. And nobody threw a better option pass than Walter Payton. And since you brought up Payton, I'll tell you a little story. He and Robert Brazil, the Oilers outside linebackers, going in the Hall of Fame August 4th, they were teammates and best friends at Jackson State. And Brazil told me that they were fanatical workout people. And I always knew that Payton was. And he said they would run great distances. And sometimes Walter would come knock on his door and said, let's go for the run, a run. And Payton would, Brazil would say, but hey, Walter, it's 2 a.m. So we got to stay in shape. So they would get out and they would run. He said, today you probably get shot. He said, but back then in the early 70s, before they were drafted in the first round in 75, you could do that. And he said, they've always felt like they could run across Mississippi. They were in such great shape, not only great friends. And I remember when Payton died from pancreatic cancer, what a sad day in NFL it was.
John, great story. And Bert, thank you for calling to get that story from John. 615-737-1045, our number. Let's go next to John on line three. Hey, John.
Hey, John, I just had a quick question about Kevin Dodd. They've talked about moving him on to the inside from the outside. I wanted to get your opinion on that. Is that possibly a way to salvage potentially a busted pick?
Well, let me ask Paul, because you're closer to it than I am. I thought when he came out of college he was going to be a good edge rusher. And what's been the holdup?
Well, he's got no twitch to him. Hold up started with the stress fracture in his foot that required two different surgeries, and then his choice this offseason to skip the 10 OTA practices was questionable at best. They're calling him a hybrid now, but certainly the one practice where we saw him, he looked like he was hybriding towards moving inside, as in being more of a defensive end. So we'll see, but he's got a long way to go to make the team. He's really got to make the most out of this fresh start with these guys, and I think choosing not to be at the voluntary camp, which is his right, wasn't the best decision to ensure
a
future.
That was a dumb decision when you got a new coach and he's going to be judging you on everything you do. You should be there trying to impress that new coach.
And that new coach happens to have played the position that you're trying to figure out.
Exactly.
Back to the phones. Matt is next up. By the way, a couple of lines open if you'd like to talk with John McClain. 615-737-1045, our number. Hey, Matt.
John, gentlemen, how goes it?
Great.
Hello, Matt.
John, hello. It's that time of week for me to check up on my Miami Dolphins. John, if you would put all this in the hopper, give me your opinion. Patriots coming off the Super Bowl loss, what seems like they're breaking up the band with the team kind of dismantling, which they do often, but still seem to make it back to the Super Bowl. Dolphins pick up a fellow you're familiar with in Brock Osweiler. We get Gore. Maybe there's a little bit of toothpaste left in that tube and Amendola. I mean, Tannehill's knee, but do we stand a chance to be playoff bound like 2016? I'll hang up and listen. And Paul, can't wait to see you back at the shop. Thanks, guys.
Matt, I'm guessing that realistically you don't have real high hopes for the Dolphins because a lot of the players were there in Adam Gase's first season when they were 10-6. I think that's what they were. They're not there anymore. You know, talking about breaking up the band, Gase started doing that last season, continued this off season. You know, Bryce Petty and Brock Osweiler, Brock's with his fourth team in 4 years. And I would hope that Tannehill stays healthy. You know, Tannehill had one really good season, which allowed him to get that big contract. And I think he can help them get to the playoffs. But let's face it, New England's going to win the division again. As long as Brady and Belichick are there, they're going to win the division. The key is try to get that wild card. And I think it's going to be really hard. I don't know anybody that expects much from the Dolphins, but that's good because they're flying under the radar, and a lot of coaches like that.
I think the big key for their offense is Laremy Tunsil. That's the first guy that comes to mind. I think they have some nice pieces. I don't know as a collective group what I truly think about that offensive unit, but Laremy Tunsil playing left tackle as protection off the edge in that division, they've got to have him play like a first-round pick.
I don't like him at all, but I would think one wild card should be coming out of the AFC South. Where the other one lands, it's hard for me to say at this stage, so could be them.
You know, if you look at the West was a disappointment last year, and Kansas City has a new quarterback. Chargers have no home field advantage, and which is hard enough to win when you do have a home field advantage. Everybody's going crazy over Gruden, but I haven't been real impressed with what Gruden did in the off season. And in Denver, you know, maybe Case Keenum will go in there and lead them back to the playoffs, but I don't think they're the best division, and you can't say for sure that a wild card could come out of there, and I don't think there's going to be a wild card coming out of the East. And if you look at the North, you know, Baltimore is better. It wouldn't surprise me if the quarterbacks stay healthy, if the AFC South didn't have three playoff teams.
Yeah, Mahomes, to me, would be the question there. I see it as a Kansas City, Los Angeles division.
And their defense in Kansas City has undergone a lot of turnover.
We go next to Joe. Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. This story broke about a week ago or so, but I didn't get to listen last week. But I was wondering if John could give me the details on why the Los Angeles Rams had to pay Reggie Bush $12.34 million, I think. I never really got the details, but I was just wondering if John could enlighten us on that story.
He got hurt in the Edward Jones Dome in St. Louis. And his attorney argued he would, if he hadn't been hurt, that he would have gotten a new 3-year contract. And I don't think that. The jury bought it. I'm assuming they'll appeal. They don't want to pay him that money. You know, he was on the downside of his career. And another thing is the NFL signs off on every stadium before a game, but there was something that he got hurt on.
He slipped on the concrete. He went off of the turf onto the outside border where there was concrete.
Yep. This is when he was playing for the 49ers. He slipped and he suffered a season-ending knee injury after slipping on that concrete.
And basically ended his career. And $12.3 million for Stan Kroenke, I mean, that's tip money for everybody else. But still, it sets a precedent, but I'd be surprised if he ends up getting all that money.
Tom is next. Hey, Tom.
Good afternoon, fellas. John,
what's up?
Pleasure to meet you.
Thank you.
have a philosophical question based on your years of observing the league. Not everybody makes it in the league past, a short period of number of years. What are the traits that you see based on your observation that are most applicable from what they've learned during their time in the league into the business world?
That's a great question. There are so many advantages today that the NFL, they have symposiums, they have rookie symposiums, they have players that can go to the Wharton School of Business, they have a Harvard program, they have broadcasting programs. The NFL offers so many things to help players prepare for when their career's over, including a lot of counseling. Excuse me. And so a lot of players take advantage of it. A lot of them are thinking ahead, and then I see a lot of them are broke. And also, it's not just that. It's a thing about, diet, be physical, mental, things that will help you emerge from your career and make a smooth transition in business. And used to, they didn't have anything like that. So today, if you want to prepare for a career after football, there are so many avenues for you to pursue.
John, Andrew Luck is throwing. Do you believe he's on track for week one in Indianapolis?
I got a conspiracy theory like the one you guys said earlier about Bryce Harper. After Oliver Luck made the interesting decision to leave the NCAA to head up the XFL, meaning he would leave Indianapolis where Andrew's based, I had people say, oh, it means Andrew's going to retire. He's not going to come back. And then we find out he got $20 million guaranteed from Vince McMahon, and it started to make more sense. And I believe this about Andrew. Until we see him on the field making the throws that he made before the surgery, and we get to see him take some hits, because before he was hurt, before the surgery, he'd been hit more than any quarterback in the league for 3 years. And I don't know if he can temper his style, because that's the style he had in college. That's the style he had here in Houston in high school. And I don't know if he can, but until we see all that, there's going to be a lot of skepticism.
And there seems to be a bit of a mental block in terms of throwing the actual NFL football, which, by the way, is the one that he's going to be given in a game.
Yeah, he's been throwing a high school ball because it's lighter as part of his rehabilitation.
Needs to get past that. I mean,
he should just take the regular ball and call Brady and find out how much you need to deflate it to make it do what you want.
Now you're on to something.
We had Todd Bowles on the show Friday, John, and the Jets' depth chart at quarterback is officially Josh McCown, Teddy Bridgewater, and Sam Darnold in that order. Can you see a situation where Darnold isn't the starter early in this season, and is that the smartest decision for the time being?
Even if they say they want to go into the season with McCown as quarterback, because they're going to be bad, there's going to be the pressure to play Darnold, and they will. I remember when Blake Bortles was drafted third overall, and they guaranteed us he was going to watch and learn as a rookie, and then, of course, he didn't. I expect all those rookies will be starting. The one, if you had to pick one who would start last, I would say it's going to be Lamar Jackson, because Baltimore thinks it's a playoff team. And if you play a rookie, odds are you ain't making the playoffs.
How about the story, though, in Baltimore with the players? I told the story last Friday. Paul, you missed me saying this, but I read a story in Baltimore about how players there are in awe of Lamar Jackson, and a former Heisman Trophy winner who steps on and makes plays with his legs, and he's moving all over the field in OTAs because there's no pressure of getting hit, and there's not a lot of defense. There is defense, but not a lot of it in the secondary, because you want
but
the players.
Jonathan, excuse me, that is all about his running ability.
Oh, it had that's nothing not to do with his passing?
Yeah, that's not about his throwing.
Well,
they are in awe of his running ability.
Oh, okay.
I think we all were watching him at Louisville. But he's going to, if he, and they got supposedly a lot of things for him to utilize him as a runner, but man, oh man, to me, that's the last thing you want a quarterback to do. You want it to be as a last resort.
I agree with that, and I didn't know it was solely focused on some of those quotes on just his running ability, but that still plays into this. I mean, even if he's not the starter, they will have packages for Lamar Jackson, right?
They said they would. You know, John Harbaugh said that they want to utilize that mobility, but, you know, are you going to use him as a quarterback or are you going to use him in a wildcat? But as great of a runner as he was, and he's right up there, Michael Vick. I used to hate it when Vick would throw the ball. I wanted to see him run, and I feel that way with Jackson. But the fact is, if they do that, they're just exposing him to risk. And if Joe Flacco doesn't get better from what he's done in recent years, Jackson's going to be playing quarterback as a starter at some point, and you don't want his rookie season to be curtailed by an injury.
I think I read, too, Hutt, in terms of packages for him, that they have stuff with him and Flacco both on the field where he's not necessarily lining up as a non-quarterback.
So Flacco would line up in that?
Two quarterbacks on the field.
And you don't know where the snap's going?
Maybe.
Maybe they're going to move. They'll have Flacco shift to wide receiver.
Love to see that.
Doesn't that sound stupid, two quarterbacks on the field at the same time?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan.
So they snap it to Lamar if they're going to run it, and they snap it to Flacco if it's a pass?
Maybe.
Yeah, or maybe Lamar throws the ball to Flacco. That'd catch him off guard.
You can toss it back to Flacco, who can then throw it.
Who's one of the slowest people in the NFL. If he and Brady had a race, they would have to get that extended thing if you're going to tape it because it would take so long.
One person I don't want to race, the 44-year-old T.O., he ran a 4.43. Now, this was on an indoor track, I believe. But he ran a 4.43 40-yard dash, according to NFL.com, at 44 years old.
Yeah, it was a hand-nail time. And, I know people are making a big deal out of that. You know, my response is, who gives a damn?
Is he going to mess up Julio Jones? Is he going to mess up Julio Jones in terms of credibility? And
tell the backstory here.
Orlando Ledbetter, who's covered the Falcons forever, for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, was on a radio station yesterday, and I think this is on Pro Football Talk. He said the Falcons are very concerned about the influence that T.O. is having on Julio Jones. And you remember, T.O. Lawton was never, seldom happy with his contract. He would make a big deal out of it, be a big distraction. And even though he said Jones is supposed to be at training camp, he is not happy, and there's a disconnect between him and the front office.
John, you reported yesterday, I believe, that Jadeveon Clowney might not get an extension before the season. The Texans, do they want him to prove he can stay healthy?
Well, they said at the start of the offseason they wanted to sign two linebackers, Jadeveon Clowney and Bernard McKinney, to extensions. Clowney had a scope in January. He rehabbed the whole offseason. He did it over at their facility, but he never came on the field. And they never had any substantive negotiations. So he's got to prove he can come back. And we're all wondering, okay, he did go get a second opinion from Jimmy Andrews because we were wondering if he's protecting himself from an injury, and which would have been smart. But Bill O'Brien says he's not worried about it. He said last week Clowney assured him he would be on the practice field when they start training camp July 26th. Well, they don't sign anybody during the season, no negotiations. So he's got to be on the field consistently. You know, why would you commit close to $100 million to a guy who says he has a sore knee? And so that's why I think there's not going to be enough time to negotiate a deal with Buzz Cook. And next year they'll have to worry about it as he becomes a free agent. You sign him to a long-term deal or put a franchise tag on him. And I don't think Buzz Cook would sign anyway until Aaron Donald and Khalil Mack do.
John, as of now, it seems as though Josh Allen is going to be given plenty of time to work down on the depth chart in Buffalo. If A.J. McCarron can't beat out Nathan Peterman in camp, what does that say for A.J. McCarron, who has been waiting for this true starting opportunity in the NFL, and the two have been splitting first-team reps this offseason?
When McCarron got his chance to play, he played pretty darn well. When Peterman got a chance to play, he was horrendous. And if anybody thinks Peterman is going to start over Josh Allen, they're crazy. I don't care what Buffalo says. A lot of people think they're going to take a big step backward. And if they're not going to be that good, they got to play Allen. And I think that I think Josh Allen, it's just a matter of whether Allen, Rosen, Mayfield, who's the other one? There's a fourth one. Which one of those guys starts the earliest? I think by
Rosen.
I'll bet you, Darnold, by a quarter way into the season, all but Lamar Jackson are starting.
Agree.
John, thanks so much. We'll catch up again on Friday.
Guys, I look forward to it. Thank you very much.